Hi everyone, how are we doing? It is deadline day, believe it or not. It doesn't seem very much like deadline day, certainly not like the usual ones Celtic go through, but it is indeed deadline day, and we are with you live here on 67 Heel Heel to chat about all of the things that have happened today, which isn't much, guys, but we're going to broaden our horizons as well and look ahead to a huge week for Celtic. I'm Hamish, we've got Stevie and John on as well. John, Stevie, how are you doing? Relaxing day?
Perfect. Ange predicted it. He said there would be nothing and there has been nothing.
I'm very good. For a start, Hamish, we're not wearing the same clothes. Finally.
I played it safe. I went away from Celtic and into the wonderful world of Tommy Hilfiger today. So I knew you don't wear that, so I knew I'd be in the clear.
I'm good. Thanks for asking. I just had a kebab, though, because it's deadline day. I went and panic bought it. Spent 15 quid on it. But nonetheless, it was very delightful.
Was Ross Wilson involved in that?
No comment.
How we doing? Let's get on with it then. John, you've been writing on 67 Heel Heel today, a bit quieter than normal usually in terms of deadline day. What's grabbed your attention today?
The only thing Celtic related that's grabbed my attention was the purchase option in Osazi Yuragidi's loan to Ostende in Belgium. He's moved away on loan till the end of the season, but as I say, that purchase option kind of sends a message to me that perhaps he might not be a big part of Ange Postecoglou's plans moving forward. As you know, Liam Shaw also moved on loan to Motherwell, but there was no purchase option there. So that kind of raised an eyebrow. Obviously, across the city, there's plenty to chat about with regards to a certain washed-up midfielder arriving at Ibrox. We'll maybe get onto that. But there's been nothing happening, Hamish. It's been very quiet from Celtic's perspective. It's probably been quieter than a normal Monday. So, I don't think anything else is going to even happen before midnight. So we'll just need to see.
There was chatter for, I think, about 5 minutes that we were potentially looking at a left-back. That seemed to die down very, very quickly, and I would suggest that it isn't going to happen. Although we did all sit here on the last deadline day special talking about our centre-back options, only for Celtic to go and sign the legend CCV about an hour later. So you never know. In terms of Osazi Yuragidi, Stevie, as John says there, he's left to go to Belgium with Ostende, the same team that Jack Hendry had some success with, and earned his big move to Club Bruges. What are your thoughts on the fact there's a purchase clause in that deal? Are you surprised that Celtic don't seem like they're wanting to keep hold of Yuragidi, you know, long term, given that we only signed him 6 months ago?
I'd want to say yeah. But at the same time, I do trust the manager, and if Ange doesn't rate him and Ange doesn't see him as part of his long-term vision and plans, we can only trust him in that. Although, I don't think he was too bad against Betis. Now, granted, that was one of the one-off games, wasn't it, Hamish? And we've seen before, you know, you're looking for players to, if you're asking a player like that to sustain that level, he'd probably find it very difficult. But in a one-off game, I thought he was okay in that match. I was surprised to hear that there is a buy option for Ostende, but at the same time, if I'm brutally honest, Hamish, I'm not going to be greeting over it, because again, I trust the manager with it, and realistically, I can't really see him filling in next season at right back when you look at our options that are already there as well, and Juranovic and Ralston.
He's been training with the team, he's been training with the squad all season. It's not like he's been with the B team much, and I think he played maybe a Challenge Cup game towards the start of the season, but he's been in and around the squad all year. So if Ange, you know, he's had a very good look at him, so you'll know exactly what he wants and whether, you know, going forward he's going to play a part in the squad. I agree with you, Stevie. I'm not too fussed.
He looked decent enough against Real Betis, but he did look quite rough around the edges, I would suggest, and I don't think it's going to be, you know, a major worry, as you guys say, when we are so strong at right back. It's just a little bit strange when you see a player sign so recently and then just kind of cast aside when you think Ralston is a perfect example of a guy, albeit coming through our own academy, but a guy that we gave so many chances to in so many years to get it right, and it eventually paid off. It seems interesting that the club have kind of effectively, it seems, you know, maybe not written Yuragidi off, but are happy for him to move on if he does have success in Belgium. Latest on the likes of Ismaila Soro, Adam Montgomery. I think there was stuff on Albin Ayeti earlier as well, John.
Yeah, there's been various rumblings of maybe a Dutch side interested in Soro. There was a bit of chat about Ayeti going back to Basel and Switzerland, but that hasn't worked out. Ange alluded in his press conference on Friday, kind of alluded to the fact that some of these people might not leave on deadline before deadline day, and there might go, you know, a couple of weeks, up to a couple of weeks later. I know the transfer window in Switzerland's extended for a couple of weeks, Russia's extended for a couple of weeks. So there might be options. Yeah, Sweden. There might be options for some of these players that aren't getting game time to move out with Celtic once our window closes. So whether it happens tonight or tomorrow or next week, I don't really know. But it seems likely that, you know, that kind of trio, you know, added to Bolly, Bolingoli, probably don't have a future at Celtic and are more likely to leave than not.
Barkas as well. Just when I mentioned Sweden there, it's IFK Göteborg, I think, are interested in him. I believe their market is open. It's one of the much later ones. I think it may even be March that they're shut. So it's like that could go on and on. Is it important, Stevie, we get rid of these fringe players, or is it not a kind of major priority for you?
No, I think it is. I think we do have to get rid of it. I want to see players that are all in that team that are going to be challenging for the places, though. I don't want to see any deadwood there at all. I mean, it doesn't do the individuals any good, Hamish, and it doesn't do the team any good. It's not good for the manager. I mean, we want a team there who are full of competent players who are challenging for each and every place and position in the team. It's not, I mean, that's what I'm saying, like the goalie position, realistically, we're saying we've got three goalkeepers there, right? But how stronger or how better would it be if we had two goalkeepers, but they were, you know, the second choice keeper was on a level of Joe Hart or just a wee bit down, competing week after week? It's healthy, it's healthy competition all the time, Hamish. That's what you want to see at Celtic. And already you've got Joe Hart in there and he's like the first choice no matter what. Scott Bain's not going to challenge him. Barkas isn't either. So I do, but and that's the same for every position. It's not just getting on at Barkas, Hamish. So no, I do feel... We're seeing, you know, the old regime, we're seeing sort of the mismanagement, we're paying the price for it there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to kill us or that, of course, but at the same time, Hamish, you know, players who realistically shouldn't be here, and between the three of us and the rest of the support and all the viewers, we can't really see a future, and I'm sure Ange doesn't either, so they should be shipped off as soon as possible, but for one reason or another, doesn't look like it. It's probably frustrating for the manager too. I know he said that he wasn't forcing anyone out, but in the back of his mind, he'll be thinking he would like to free up some money to buy in better quality players, and that's what I think Celtic can benefit from, Hamish. So, to answer your question, it's not a killer for us, but it is frustrating, and hopefully, when we're in the next window, and the windows after it under the manager, we're not in this position. We've got players there who want to be there, who will challenge, who will have a future, and it's only going to be beneficial for the club.
So this is what Celtic's January has looked like. Obviously, there could be a few more deals out the way to be done between now and the deadline at midnight. In terms of players coming in, John, I mean, we know all of those players, with the slight exception of Johnny Kenny. We've seen all of the players playing in the first team, and you just look at the prices we paid for those players there. It's quite remarkable, isn't it?
Well, that's the good thing about it being a quiet deadline day, is that it's representative of Celtic actually doing well, getting their ducks in a row and getting players in early, in the team early, already playing for Celtic, already impressing supporters. I know Eddie Gucci's had a bit of bad luck with that injury, but you know, we expect Itati, Maeda and O'Reilly to play a big part in the second half of the season, and they already feel like they're settled in and you know, contributing, which is massive. So there's obviously an element of disappointment of a quiet transfer day, because I think every supporter wants some kind of last-minute deal. They want a bit of drama, they want a bit of excitement, but I think the fact that it is so quiet today is actually a good thing for Celtic. This time last year, I know we've said it on the channel a few times, this time last year, scrambling about for John Joe Kenny, scrambling about for deals to kind of fill holes in the squad. Everything Ange Postecoglou has done this season has been with a long-term vision. Even the way he speaks about Cameron Carter-Vickers and Jota, who are both admittedly on loan, but he speaks about them in a long-term way. And if they choose to stay in Glasgow, then Ange is all in on those players and all in on them as being part of his Celtic plans moving forward. So I'm perfectly comfortable with the fact that it's been quiet, you know, since we signed O'Reilly. Ange hasn't led us on. He's made it quite clear that, you know, it was very unlikely that there would be more signings. I'm looking at the squad depth, I'm looking at that list of incomings and outgoings, and I think this is one of the best January windows that we've had ever, probably, you know. So I'm quite happy with the way that's gone. I mean, you look at that, Tati, 1.4 million is ridiculous. You know, Maeda is on a loan, but, you know, that's a guaranteed purchase option in the summer. So he'll be staying for a long time. Matt O'Reilly's just been plucked from English League One and already looks like, you know, a star player in the Premiership. So I'm very, very comfortable with what's been done.
Yeah, I think all Celtic fans would be. This is the final day of January. I think we had our deadline day in the final day of December, didn't we? The three of us were on our Hogmanay special chatting about the three signings we'd made that day. And it felt that was the kind of drama that day, that triple announcement. That was the highlight of the January window, and January hadn't even begun at that stage. It's the easy thing to do, Stevie, compare it to where we were 12 months ago. But it is remarkable when you look at the squad and, as John says, the long-term plan for the squad. You know, a year ago, the amount of players we had, you know, out of contract, Scott Brown, Edward, Ayer, Christie, all these players moved on. We had the amount of loanees, El Yunusi, Laxalt, Kenny, Shane Duffy, all these players that weren't going to play a part this season, and we knew they weren't going to play a part this season. And we had to deal with that, and Ange's dealt with it. And now you look at the squad, and I mean, I don't know what you guys think, but I just think this is one of the strongest Celtic squads I've seen in a long time, in terms of, you know, all over that park. There's quality in most areas there. And I just think Ange deserves a lot of credit, Stevie.
Oh, he does, definitely. One of the things the manager said was that he hates late frenzied signings because he brings in a player in deadline day. Now, say, for example, he was bringing in Maeda, Hitati and Idiguchi today. Now, they're going to be rushed into that game on Wednesday night. It's a frenzied atmosphere. They've not had time to train. They've came for another culture. They've not had any time to settle in. The manager was excellent to get those three players in as early as possible, and that's something they said that he's always trying to do with players. So that's why I'm not expecting him to buy in anyone new, because he did, so even with Matt O'Reilly, he got him in with plenty of time as well. When it came to making his debut, he didn't like just rush him in.
It was vital as well, when you think of all the injuries we had.
Crucial. But I think the key thing for me is, now you guys know what I'm like with, you know, lone players, right? Granted, Jota is just another level. Yeah, who doesn't love him?
But I think, even more so than Moy.
Ask me that at the end of the season, okay? Ask me that and we'll compare them. But the key thing was, we've got four players here now who are permanent, Hamish. They're going to play a key part this season, but also beyond. And even think of how good Hitati and Maeda have been already this season. They've only played a couple of games. Can you imagine them with a pre-season, getting you know, time to fully adjust and settle into that squad, and then hit the ground running from August? It'll be fantastic. Of course, we have to think short-term now, because we have a major game which is so critical to all that, before all that even. But no, I think I trust the manager, in, as you know, in terms of what he says about hating just bringing in players at the last minute. It doesn't do anyone any good. It's not great for him. We're underprepared, and I think he'll be happy going into the game on Wednesday that we do have, as much as possible now, apart from our injuries, a settled squad, and strong players for him to choose from.
I'm just saying, we're kind of dancing around it here, but I'm going to briefly talk about the Ramsey thing, because I think it is indicative of what we're kind of, the point we're making generally. Like, I understand why Rangers fans are excited about him. He's a big name. He's coming from Juventus. You know, he's got a reputation. He's been playing well for Wales, even though he hasn't been playing well in Serie A. So I understand why they're excited, but I just look at that kind of signing and I honestly think that it's not the kind of signing that Celtic would be making under Ange. And I think that's a good thing. You know, it might work out for them, it might not, but I don't think there's any guarantees with that signing, you know, regardless of name value at all. Obviously there's upsides. He is a big name, he is a good player, and he has, you know, he's got a long career behind him, he's got experience, but Celtic won't be making that kind of signing, is my point. And I don't think they will, as long as Postecoglou's in charge. We've moved on to a different kind of way of doing business, a different kind of way of looking at the future at Celtic. So while I understand their excitement, it's just not for Celtic at the moment. So I'm kind of glad that we're not chasing deals like that.
100%, I'm the same. You know, a lot of Celtic fans on social media today have been really playing down the signing, and you know, I my honest opinion is it could be a decent signing for Rangers, but if he stays fit. But I'm not. I don't feel threatened, you know, by it at all. I feel so confident of where Celtic are right now, and I feel so confident with Ange and the deals we've done so far. And it's nice to be in this position, you know, this side of the fence, rather than, let's face it, we're normally on these videos at this time chatting about someone like Aaron Ramsey and a last gasp loan deal until the end of the season, or the fella Diallo they signed from Man United, kind of similar, short-term deals with no option to buy. As Stevie says, or maybe it was John, you know, every loan deal we've had this season has been with an option to buy, and you know, good money would be on both players to be, you know, Celtic players next season as well. So I'm just so excited. And why wouldn't you be excited, guys, when you've got a squad like that? What takes your fancy there, lads?
I think you need to look at the midfield options. I mean, look at the attacking midfield options.
Yeah, only two of them can play.
Yeah. So only two of them play. But this time last month, we had Tom Rogic and we had David Turnbull. And that was it. And they were good enough because they were getting the job done more often than not in that first half of the season. But you could see it building up on them. And eventually Turnbull got that hamstring injury. Now Ange has the option to rotate both of them. And both the players that have come in to kind of, you know, compete for those places are already impressing supporters, you know, and not just out of hype. You know, Hatate's goal at Tynecastle, his debut the first half, certainly. I think O'Reilly looks like he can spot a pass. So I'm just looking at that attacking midfield option, and Ange has really beefed that up because he understands how that important that area of the team is. Because Celtic, you know, his big problem, it hasn't been defence this season. You know, it's been this kind of creativity thing. It's been this urgency of pushing on the game in the closing moments and getting the goals we need. We've dropped silly points, and now we've got more options and more fresh legs in that attacking midfield area, and I think that's obviously the best work Ange's done.
Stevie, where do we next need to look to take the next step, you think, in the summer?
I'll answer that in 1 second. Can I also just say very quickly a correction from me? I said we hadn't brought in any loan players, but I completely forgot Dyson Maeda is a loan with an option to buy. So just before anyone in the comments goes through me and says I'm a fake fan or whatever, all right, sorry everybody. I think realistically, we all know the answer here, don't we? It's left back. I mean, you look at those left back options and every one of the players are just okay, but we need better than that. You look at right back, you look at Josip Juranovic, Hamish, and how we got that guy for $2.5 million. It's complete. It's I almost feel bad for Legia, but I say almost. But it's mad. You've got a Croatian international. The guy is just top quality. And on the right, you just feel it. I mean, anytime you've got the ball out there, whether it's him defending or attacking, you just feel you really trust him, don't you? On the ball, off the ball.
He's
the
brilliant.
Guy just, he owes his class. And then you look at left back and our options there. Now, I think Greg Taylor's okay. I actually like Liam Scales, but I would love to see his mirror, you know, what we've got on the right in Juranovic. I really would. Now, we can't do that. This transfer window, I've made peace with that. We just have to deal with what we've got, and hopefully it's good enough to get by and win the league. But I really want to see his upgrade there in the summer, Hamish. I don't want to just see Celtic now having players that are okay and they'll do a job. I want to see Celtic now under Ange with players that will improve us, that are top quality, and that will take us to the next level. And I think our next level is just getting to the Champions League. It's baby steps for us. But if we go into the Champions League this summer prepared, we buy in a top quality left back one, as I said, it just mirrors Juranovic on the right. And then say, for example, we buy in CCV permanently and either Julian or Starfelt there, and already you've got your heart behind them. You've got a stable, settled defence. And how often can you ever say that about Celtic, get into Champions League games and games in Europe in general, Hamish? It's such a big deal, and I feel that's where we really have to focus all our attention when it comes to upgrading the team. It's definitely left back. Don't know what you guys think, but that's my shout.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to go over the whole Greg Taylor debate because I feel like we do that every time we've got a live video. I think Greg Taylor is a fine Celtic player, but I agree, Stevie. I think I'd want, you know, a real Juranovic basically on the left hand side, and I think Greg Taylor's an absolute fine player for Celtic, but just, you know, a step above, maybe just to take us to the next level. And I'm really confident we'll do that. You know, unless Greg Taylor really, you know, comes on to an incredible game and becomes like an unbelievable fullback, because Angel want to keep taking Celtic to the next level. We've got a guy in charge who isn't going to settle for just winning the league. I can't remember who I was speaking to. It was one of the interviews I did, and whoever it was made the comment that Ange won't see winning the league as his goal at Celtic. He'll see succeeding in Europe as his goal. The league's the immediate thing you have to do, and that's the big challenge this year, to win the league back. But Ange will be wanting to make his mark at Celtic by doing something special in Europe. So that's why I think we're all, well, I'm personally really confident that he will continue to take us to the next level. John?
Go and pull up the squad depth just again. Just one last look that I can have a look at it. See, I'm looking at that. I'm looking at the right wing area. And I'm looking, if we're talking about in the summer and next level, then Abad has been great. He's been a good signing. He's very young. James Forrest, you know, he's still struggling a little bit in terms of getting back up to match fitness. Now, I'm not writing James Forrest off like other people are. I think there's been a lot said that's been a bit harsh on James Forrest of late. He's obviously not in the best run of form, but I think he deserves the benefit of the doubt to get himself back to full fitness to see what he can do. But, you know, after that, Owen Moffat's obviously emerging. Dembele's obviously emerging on and also coming out back from an injury, and also is out of contract in the summer. So if we're thinking next level in the summer, then a right winger is like the main priority for me, as well as the left back position. And I think something like that could bring us to the next level again for me.
A Jota on the right, is that what you're after?
Yeah, a Jota on the right. Yeah, why not?
A Jota on the right and a Juranovic on the left. That's basically what we're wanting. Sorry, we got one comment in earlier. I put a thing out just asking for some thoughts. This was from Scottish James. With all the signings Celtic have made this season, who is your favourite and would you have signed anyone else? We'll tackle the first bit first. Who's your favourite signing being out of all of them?
Jota for me. I mean, Kyogo has been immense, but I just love watching Jota play. I think he's just got such a poise with the ball. I don't want to get all fancy here, but he's got a poise with the ball. He's just, as soon as he takes the ball, you know he's going to try and do something. And I just love watching him, the way, you know, he's got a great balance to his game. Even, you know, just the way he fires in that cross on Saturday was just sumptuous. Mm-hmm. Dundee United had all 11 players in the box and he managed to find the Celtic man. So he's been my favourite player, you know, closely followed by Kyogo.
Yeah, it's Kyogo for me. He's just the impact he's made. I love the guy so much. Stevie?
In terms of entertainment, Jota, hands down. Just love watching the guy. I feel we could go several levels beyond us, honestly. I mean, we said in the, I think it was Hog Manet, didn't we, that when we were on, that with Jota, generally, you could put him in a Champions League level team and he just wouldn't look out of place. He is exceptional, but I feel a very important signing we made. Like, so that's my favourite in terms of entertainment. But in terms of importance, it's still Joe Hart. I feel Joe Hart has been a colossal signing, very, very important, and we saw that on Saturday. Just wee things. I don't know if you. I won't get into it with Joe Hart. I know you're on a timer here and everything, but.
No. I know the thing you're going to say, the thing you said in GigPod. I noticed it as well at the game when Near Beaton was sent off and Dundee United went to take the free kick. I think it was Starfelt or someone came over, or Beaton came over to give the armband to Joe Hart, and he was kind of waving it away because he was only focused on one thing, and that was stopping Dundee United scoring from the set piece. I noticed that as well. I just forgot to comment on it, Stevie, so well done for bringing it to my attention. Are we done transfer-wise, guys? Can we move on?
I think so. I don't, you know, like you said, there was a bit of chat about perhaps looking at a left-back from the Daily Record earlier, but I think we maybe would have heard by now something by now. It's 8:30. The window's open till 12. So go to your bed early tonight, everyone, and get a good night's sleep, because you're going to need your energy for later in the week.
Because you're not going to sleep much on Tuesday night, because you're going to be up late thinking about what could happen the following evening. Celtic versus Rangers, Wednesday night at Celtic Park. A full Celtic Park. It really is incredible. That's what the league table looks like, and that's what it means. If Celtic were to get victory on Wednesday night, we would go to the table, top of the table, for the first time in a long, long time. Believe it or not, we have actually been top at one stage already this season. I think when we beat St Mirren 6-0, we went top, but that was just because a lot of teams played the following day. This would be the first time we've been properly top. How excited are we for this game, Stevie?
very excited, but also very nervous as well. I really am. I mean, it does play a part that we haven't beat them in over 2 years. It's criminal. It's embarrassing. But we do have the chance to put it right. And I honestly feel the atmosphere on Wednesday has to be, you know, it just has to be. It's going to be special, but the fans are going to be a big, big part of how the result plays out. I think the players will need them more than ever, and we have to be patient as well. We know how Rangers are going to set up and play. I certainly do. Don't expect them to be adventurous whatsoever. But, you know, it will be an unbelievable feeling, Hamish, to go top of the league after we beat them. Hopefully we do. But yeah, it's very fine sort of levels of nervousness and excitement from myself. It's not, I don't think the nervousness has hit me as bad now, but see tomorrow and Wednesday, it will be like times 100.
I know, and it's not far away. You know, tomorrow's Tuesday, it's going to be ramping up. It's going to drag in.
Not long now.
Not long now, indeed, to quote a famous Aberdeen journalist. A lot of people asking about away supporters. Are there away supporters on Wednesday night? There are not. It's going to be full of Celtic fans. So an extra chance for us to make it as hostile as possible. Weird having a midweek derby. John, it's in the league. I think the last one would probably be the Nakamura, Jan Venegor one.
No. The last one was the so-called shame game.
That was in the cup, though, wasn't it?
That was in the cup, yeah, in the league. It probably would be that one, wouldn't it? I can't really think of another one. I know that the one where Joe Ledley scored was a big game.
2011.
That would be after it, aye.
That was exciting.
Similarities there as well, because we went top that night by beating Rangers. So
yeah, but windy. We'd also come back from a fairly hefty points deficit and kind of gradually pulled them back. I think this chance to kind of go top of the table has come quicker than I expected.
Yeah,
I've always felt that we were going to have an opportunity like this at some point, but I didn't expect it to come so quickly. I think the fact they've dropped points in 2 of the 3 rounds fixtures already after the winter break is huge. I certainly wasn't expecting that to happen. And now we're here, I don't think it's an opportunity that Celtic can afford not to take. And I'm not saying that in the sense of whoever wins on Wednesday, the league's over. I just think if Rangers do win that, then that 5-point gap is going to feel like, you know, a lot bigger. It's going to feel a lot bigger than 5 points. Likewise, if Celtic can kind of get over the line and, you know, climb that mountain top, it's kind of like, you know, we've obviously not won anything, and the squad will be very careful, and Postecoglou will be very careful to make sure that it's just basically the start for Celtic. It's not the end of a run. But I think still, if Celtic can go ahead, go top of the table, then suddenly we're favourites to win the league. And that's ridiculous from where we were in October, from all the chat about Postecoglou's, you know, out by Halloween, out by Christmas, all that kind of patter. It's quite remarkable the job Celtic have done. So, and while this opportunity has arrived quicker than expected, I also don't think it's, you know, too much of a surprise. As we've known as Celtic fans, Celtic have been on a path of gradual improvement over the last, you know, 8 months. And you know, this has always been kind of the end goal for us. And I know some Rangers fans and perhaps some other fans in Scottish football have kind of been laughing at Celtic along the way, you know, that we're in crisis and that, you know, we're rubbish and Postecoglou's a no mark and his signings are rubbish. But they're in for a shock, because the improvement I've seen in Celtic over the last 8 months has been the most intense and impressive improvement I've seen at Celtic in that time period for as long as I've been supporting Celtic. Again, there was an element of that when Martin O'Neill came to the club, but he had an early derby game. You know, Brendan Rodgers had an early derby game. Postecoglou's not had the chance to get Rangers at Celtic Park yet, and that's why I'm so excited about this game, because I think we could see the real Celtic and the real way we want to play. And I'm not going to make any predictions for this game, because I think it's actually a really hard game to predict.
Yeah.
But it's just so exciting. That's why everyone's so hyped up for it, because this has been building up for months and months for us. And I just can't wait to see what we can do.
Adam Montgomery's joined Aberdeen on loan for the rest of the season, confirmed by both clubs. I agree. I think this season's been a really strange one, because there's been so few points dropped over the last, you know, 5-6 months after that rocky start we had. We've been playing catch up the whole way through. We were 6 points behind when things kind of evened out. And then we got it down. I think we got it way down to 2 points. And we had that chance to go top when we drew it home to Livingston and missed a last minute penalty. And then we kind of got further away again. We dropped some points. Rangers just kept winning. Win. 6 points behind going into the break. And yeah, it's come around quite quickly. They've dropped points in 2 games. And I think for the first time in the season, we have a really defining game and a real opportunity for Celtic for the first time, as I say, the first proper time to go top of the league and to make a major statement. Rangers have still only lost 1 game this season, that game against Dundee United at the start of the season. This is a huge, huge opportunity. I think if we had the full squad, I would feel far more confident than I do. I think Celtic are in a really tough place at the moment, and it seems strange to say that when we keep winning. But I just look at a team, you know, at Tannadice at the end and on Saturday, as much as we got the late goal, I look at a team that kind of looks on its knees a little bit again. Nothing to do with... It is. I mean, when you look at the players we're missing and the options that we don't have on the bench.
I'm looking at the first half against Hearts at Tynecastle. If we play like that against Rangers, you know, I think we'll have a good night. You know, when we're zipping the ball about it, well, I know that there is concerns. I agree with Hamish. There is a concerns about lasting a full game. I know I'm pushing beyond that hour mark at the moment as some key players get up to speed. Like Hatate at the weekend wasn't very good against United. Let's be honest. I'm not annihilating him, but he just didn't have a great game. But I think if he plays like the way he did at Tynecastle, then Rangers are going to struggle against us because I think the speed of what we're moving the ball about at. And the movement in that team was exceptional. So I understand what you're saying, but I don't think Celtic isn't like what December was for us, for example. That's when we were really on our knees.
I just look at the midfield and the bench we'll have on Wednesday night, and that's what really concerns me, is that we won't have the option there. I think the team that starts is a much better team than Rangers, and I think that we have more players that can hurt them than they do with us, but I just look at the way second halves have gone, and I'm not having a go at Celtic when I say that. This is a ridiculous situation, you know, a ridiculous amount of injuries and suspensions. I mean, the middle of the park, we have like 8-9 players, and I think only 3 or 4 of them are going to be available on Wednesday night. We're missing Beaton, we're probably going to miss McGregor, Idiguchi, Rogic, Turnbull. I mean, it's ridiculous. And if Celtic manage to beat Rangers and go top of the league on Wednesday night, like, Ange deserves a statue outside the stadium, you know, on Thursday morning because what he's doing is remarkable. That's the point I'm getting across. I just, like, the attacking options we've got so many players away, it's ridiculous, and we're still finding a way to win games, and I just hope that that isn't about to run out on Wednesday night, Stevie.
Yeah, I think the key thing I've got to noted is that, I know it is a cliche, but you're right, the midfield is a concern, and we have to control that early. Because they're likely going to have Kamara, Aribo, and either what, Arfield or Ramsey in there.
Ramsey's signed for Rangers, apparently.
Is that it official?
Yeah.
All right, well, good for him.
Oh, well.
But
moment of silence.
Focus on us. I mean, they will just sit in and try and contain and frustrate us, and it's just so key that we control that midfield battle. The one thing that I'm taking out of this, that I think their weakest area is our strongest, where their defence, in my opinion, I mean, the fact that they haven't addressed that is a real surprise to me, to be honest. And I know me and John had a discussion about this earlier, maybe yesterday or today, John, but I'm very surprised they haven't addressed that, because when you look at the goals they've conceded, like Ross County the weekend, awfully, I mean, quick fizz ball, fair wide, or just a quick ball over the top or through their defence, they're away to pieces. The 3 goals against Hibs at Hampden, and then at Aberdeen as well, the 2 at Ibrox and then the up at Audrey. I mean, that's 18 they've conceded to our 13. For all this talk, as we keep saying, about Celtic were maligned at the start of the season, all this talk of Starfelt and Joe Hart being past it and everything, and the Celtic side are too gung-ho, you know, under Ange, but they're going to concede all sorts of goals, even if they score a lot. Well, I haven't seen that at all. I look at the Celtic side and I see a fairly solid and dependable unit. And I think we will cope with that Rangers attack, I really do. Of course, it's all about what we do in midfield and attack after that, but their defence can be got at when you look at I mean, Abada and Jota, they've got so, I mean, the skill and the goals they've got between them, they can really hurt them. The big question is, who are we going to put through? I mean, it's going to be Gigi through the middle, and he really does have to turn up, especially. But remember as well, Gigi against Hearts, there was a lot of doubt about him then. Everybody, you know, going, oh, here we go, him again. And then he was absolutely fantastic. This is a game, Hamish, where, as we said on Saturday after Celtic Park when we were recording, Giakoumakis looks like he really enjoys and relishes the physical battles. Now, this is going to be a physical battle on Wednesday, and it'll be one that I hope he will turn up for. And I just hope after it, you know, that we are praising, and a lot of Celtic fans are praising him, and we're getting to see the qualities that he showed against Hearts, and I hope he carries it into this game. But yeah, that's my thoughts on it in that part.
We're going to move on to this, you know, in more detail in a minute, but, or we can just go into it now. But I think the big thing about this Celtic team compared to this Rangers team is that they thrive on chaotic moments in games. Now, the times we've dropped points this season have been in pretty dull games. You know, the St Mirren game, for example, that wasn't a case of us kind of, you know, slipping up and having a comedy of errors like Rangers did at the weekend. And you look at this, we scored late winners against Ross County and Dundee United with 10 men. Those four goals, yeah, the Real Betis game where it was like fringe and youth players, you know, directly after the Hibs game in the League Cup final. You know, these are moments where Celtic have kind of shone and come into their own. And I think you saw at the weekend that Rangers don't really have that in this team. And I think if it breaks down into that kind of chaotic match situation, then I back Celtic to deal with it better than Rangers do. Because I think if Celtic had conceded three goals like that against Ross County in the manner that the Rangers did at the weekend, with our bad defence would have been talked about for about 2 years. And you just look at the way, you know, in comparison, you know, Starfelt looks like Beckenbauer compared to that defending we saw at the weekend. It was ridiculous. And so I just think they don't have it in them. You know, I could be left looking stupid on Thursday, and no doubt will. But I just look at that team, and I don't think they can cope with these kind of crazy games and these crazy moments. And that's why I, you know, I'm as confident as anything about this team, because Ange Postecoglou absolutely loves moments like this. And you can put it down to luck, and you can construe it as fortunate. But you look at a moment like Abada's goal, and you listen to Greg Taylor after the game. Taylor's talked about how, you know, Ange always wants his wingers in the middle of that box when the other winger is away to cross him, because he knows that the ball can drop, and he knows that, you know, there's so many, you know, chances to put the ball in the back of the net. You know, Ange talks about manipulating environments, and I agree that the environment on Wednesday is going to be crazier than anything he's experienced. I know he's been to World Cups. I know there's been big moments in his career so far. It's going to be crazier than anything. But I just think Ange Postecoglou's team can really step up in this moment. And if the match breaks down and is mental, then I back Celtic over this Rangers team.
Interesting points, Stevie.
No, I fully agree with John. It's when it comes down to it, when you look at the games we've played over the course of the season, and when it's been going to the must-win matches and you can't drop points, you know, after that 0-0 game against Livingston, we have gradually improved. And what I saw, you know, against Ross County, and then I saw it the weekend there, it's this Celtic team, you can never write them off now. I think that is the hallmarks of the Ange Postecoglou team era already. I mean, it's a great position for him to be in, because, I mean, a lot of that when I was growing up, it was always seeing Tommy Byrne Celtic sides, and it was a case of, you know, never write them off, they'll always go to the end. But unfortunately, as entertaining as it was, we never won anything, sadly, and never won a league anyway. And then that'll change when you saw with Martin O'Neill and Gordon Strachan had that as well, didn't they? They had all the hallmarks of never giving up, battling to the end, always scoring last-minute goals, grinding out wins when you never thought it was possible. And in the end, they were title-winning sides. And I just hope that it goes that way for Ange, not down the Tommy Byrne route and everything, but more towards like Martin O'Neill, Strachan. And I dearly hope that all these last-minute winners and these horrible games that we've churned out victories in, I hope it counts for something. And like John says, I trust him. I really do. I really do trust the manager, that he knows what he's doing. He can manipulate environments, as he says. He thrives on the chaos. And I hope we're talking about, you know, how good would it be to talk about another one of these last minute wins on Wednesday as well, to go top of the league. That would just be fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, there's an argument, I think, that we're still waiting on that game. You know, that game you can hang your hat on and say, you know, that was the game when Angers Celtic properly arrived. Maybe that's slightly harsh, but, you know, that derby victory, that massive win with the full stadium absolutely rocking. And I just really hope that it comes on Wednesday night. A wee graphic here just to show you the change in the Celtic 11 from the last time we played Rangers back on August the 29th. Now, obviously, we don't know the team yet for Wednesday night. That, I think, is probably the best guess for the side we'll see on Wednesday night. Now, the game back at Ibrox in August, we still had Hudson Edward up front. Of course, Kyogo was out on the left. You know, that midfield is pretty unrecognisable from what we'll see probably on Wednesday night. Ryan Christie was still in there. The defence has changed as well. Carter Vickers wasn't a Celtic player the last time we played against Rangers. Jota hadn't made his Celtic debut yet. So Juranovic was at left back at Ibrox. So there's massive changes there. Big changes in the Rangers side as well. Who are the guys that we're going to look to more than anyone on Wednesday night? Is it easy to say Jota is the guy we're kind of going to hang our hat on?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, yes, I think him and Abada are just top class wingers just now. And I mean, when you look at Rangers fullbacks, Tavernier and Barisic are so under par just now. If you get at them, the two of them will fold. And Barisic is a shadow of the player that he was, Hamish. And Tavernier as well. I mean, I know he had these big season last season, but we saw poorer sort of Celtic wingers getting at him and getting a lot of joy out of him. I can't imagine if, you know, it's going to be even... Can you imagine Jota just takes him apart just for the first couple of minutes of the game and Abada against Barisic as well? The confidence they'll get, the player, the fans will just whip the rest of the players into a frenzy. It'll be some atmosphere after it, and the nervousness that will creep in to that Rangers side will be so evident. So yeah, I think it's easy to say, but I mean, it's also common sense as well. Hamish, Jota is absolutely fabulous, and Abada's on form as well. He's such a goal for it. I think they're the two players that will really hurt them and can do damage.
I'm a little bit worried about McCarthy if it does come down to him now. We don't know what kind of things are going on behind the scenes at Celtic. You know, Andrew's going to keep his cards very close to his chest. There's all sorts of rumours about McGregor wearing a mask and all this kind of thing. We don't know. We just don't know. But if it is McCarthy that starts, then I'm obviously, you know, there's a little bit of trepidation there for me, because I think if you look at the, you know, the reason we haven't won since that League Cup final and the Julian goal is because we've been bodied in midfield. You know, for every single game, they've just absolutely bodied us in midfield, and that's been what's been so depressing. And if they do that again, then we'll struggle, and we'd really need that midfield three to be at the absolute top of their game. And we just, you know, Hatate needs to be dancing around them. You know, O'Reilly needs to be picking out the passes of the wingers, and McCarthy, if he plays, needs to be very disciplined positionally. And I'm a little bit worried about his legs, but you know, let's see. That's why I'm not making any predictions about the game. I think it's so hard to call about how it'll all pan out. But you know, I think, you know, the players like Jota, Abada, I think have that kind of explosiveness that will really aid us in this game in particular.
It's a massive chance for McCarthy though as well, and this isn't a youngster we're throwing into a derby. This is a guy with hundreds of Premier League appearances who has played at maybe not more, you know, maybe not bigger matches actually, but certainly played in a lot of big games. He's, you know, won the FA Cup at Wembley for Wigan and played in the Premier League for Everton and Wigan. He should be able, you know, if his legs can do it, he should have the experience and the know-how to really control this game. It should be a game for James McCarthy. I mean, strong tackler, you know, he's meant to be quite calm in possession, still probably yet to see that, but it should be a game for James McCarthy. So that's the way, the positive spin I'm going to put on it. A massive opportunity for James McCarthy to really arrive as a Celtic player. I want to touch as well on something you mentioned, Stevie, just the fact that it's going to be a full house of Celtic fans. You know, the first ever derby I can remember at Celtic Park with no away fans at all, you know, and a full house of Celtic fans. I want us to make it as difficult as possible for the Rangers players on Wednesday night. Now, I don't want the fans to go, you know, beyond the line, because I don't think we need trouble or anything like that. But I want us to make it a horrible place for them on Wednesday night. I want them to be quaking in their boots when they come out. because as good as they were last season, and as much as they've had, you know, the dominance over us at Celtic Park over the last couple of years, I don't think they'll have been, you know, they won't have played in an atmosphere like this domestically in a long, long time. And I think we already saw on Saturday that despite this Rangers team going unbeaten last season, it's a whole different ball game this year because we're putting pressure on them and it's proper football. There's fans there. And I want to see that on Wednesday night. I want them to feel it at Celtic Park. I think the fact it's a night game will make it even more, you know, it'll be even louder. The atmosphere will be even more hostile. And I just think that's a major part of the game that for me hasn't been spoken about enough. I thought we, as much as we were good in the first half at Ibrox, I thought in the second half, you know, when the atmosphere got up, it became a really, really challenging game for us. And I think we need to repay, you know, the favour on Wednesday night. I think the support need to be, you know, completely up for it, which they absolutely will be. It's a derby game. People will have had a good drink, I'm sure, during the day. And if Celtic start really well, it has potential, I think, to leave Rangers reeling, to quote Ian Crocker. So just get your thoughts on that, Stevie.
Yeah, I'm going to be very careful here by the choice of words that I use, because I want to see a really toxic atmosphere at Celtic Park, but and I do. I'm just going to be truthful. I really do. I want to make it,
but not over the line yet.
Not over the line, no. But yeah. I want to make it really uncomfortable for them.
I agree.
Because I know that I'm also careful as well that not to talk about them too much here, okay? But in the last few weeks, I haven't seen any of them be big characters. I really haven't. And at Hampden against Hibs, now they had more of the support than Hibs. But when Hibs made it 1-0 and their fans were giving it loudy, their players froze. Now, can you imagine
early goal,
in 5 minutes, an early goal, Celtic Park going nuts, and they've got no fans there at all? One of the things I've noted is, John, you always said we get bodied in midfield, and I do agree with you. And that was because Gerrard always set that midfield up to be snapping and snarling at us, and they were full of hate for us, and that's what these games are all about. Now, one of the things that I've noticed their fans always saying is Van Bronckhorst and his teams now are too nice. He's too conservative, so we really have to prey on that. Now, I'm not looking for Ange to go toe-to-toe and put the boot in, because he's smarter than that, and we're smarter than that. But if you can combine that with the fact that they are too nice, recently they've had no big characters, the one game that they really had to win to get in the final on a big stage, they froze in. Throw all that into the mix and throw into the fact that, as Hamish talks about, the fans will have had a few bevies. It's midweek, they've not got anyone on their side. We genuinely have a chance to make it murder for them. And I hope to God that this clip of me isn't going to get trimmed and I'm going to look like a
hello TikTok.
Hello,
complete fool. I really do. But that's what I'm excited for. Just the thought of them crumbling in the opening 10, 15 minutes. And that's why that opening spell is going to be so important for us. And we really have to get a stronghold in the game. But just thinking of that has got me. I was saying I was quite nervous earlier. Now that excitement of it has, it's hit me, man. So before I go on and work myself into a shoot, I'll let John take over.
He's
a sensible man.
I agree with you, Stevie. And I think what's interesting about the criticism I've seen of Van Bronckhorst from Rangers fans, you know, not from anyone else, this is from Rangers fans, the criticism I've seen is that he's too pragmatic and he sits off opponents too much. Now, it'll be very interesting to see what their approach is on Wednesday, if he is pragmatic and they don't press as high as we've been used to from the Rangers under Gerrard, because I think that obviously plays into our hands and it would be a good thing. So that is definitely a factor. I think if they let us play, and I think if they're less aggressive than they were under Gerrard, then it could be a long night for them. I think that's a great point. And we'll just need to wait and see what Van Bronckhorst does. So of course, it's as important as to the game as Postecoglou does. We know Postecoglou isn't going to, he's definitely not going to compromise anything. No. You know, we're going to go for their necks, basically. And if they let us put our foot on their throat, then it could be a long 90 minutes for them.
And let's hope it is. I think we'll leave it there, guys, unless you've got anything else you want to say. Just massively excited, Stevie.
Yes, very quickly. Here's hoping the Celtic Park DJ does me and John a turn. And Metallica has played. We both have our requests in, John. Here's hoping that he listens and delivers.
I couldn't agree enough. Let's make it hell, total hell inside Celtic Park for this Rangers team.
I want to see He'll Never Walk Alone as the players come out. So I'll remember the days when we used to have it when the game kicks off and it's still going on. I want to see that on Wednesday night, not like 10 minutes before kickoff, which is what they've been doing lately. I want the kind of a reminder of the days gone by. I think that would really set the tone for the start of the game, and obviously an early goal would be absolutely massive. We're going to have a big preview, our biggest preview yet, coming on the channel tomorrow. We'll have Jackie McNamara on that. We'll have Scott McDonald on that, talking about some of his favourite Derby memories. We'll also have Ryan118 from the Ryan118 YouTube channel. So the big guns are all coming out for the big preview. That will be out tomorrow, I believe, at 5 o'clock. And we'll obviously have the reaction and all that on Wednesday night as well. Yeah, enjoy the game, guys. Hopefully it's a positive result. Everyone else, we'll speak to you tomorrow. Thanks for tuning into this. Take care and hail.